live local talk. It's Tesh Matters on the voice of the Tesh. Cain Radio, New Iberia's only daily live call-in talk show.
23, almost 24 minutes after 10 o'clock, our Mellow Joy coffee time. Before we bring in Marty Harrell, just got word that there was a fire, a business caught fire on Hopkins in and around Dale Street. So they've got that area blocked off. So it's an area you want to avoid, Hopkins in and around Dale Street. That being said, my pleasure. Welcome back. Another edition of Positively Iberian. Marty Harrell, how are you, ma'am?
I'm doing well, sir. What are you having for lunch today?
You know, I'm not sure.
Can I make a suggestion?
Go ahead.
It's National Chili Dog Day.
Tell you what, not a bad idea. But honestly, I don't believe in chili on a dog.
Oh, that's true. You're from Chicago.
Yeah,
I forgot.
We don't do that. But still, you know, I love a good bowl of chili. I love a good hot dog. Why not marry them, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I just thought that we would remind everybody it's National Chili Hot Dog Day. And one thing that Crystal and Jennifer and I were talking about earlier is it's lipstick day, too. So, you know, it's whatever you want to celebrate today, there's always something, right?
I may pass on that one.
yeah, that's fine. We understand for sure. But, you know, this is the most exciting time of year for me, and it always has been. The get ready for back to school shopping season is better than Christmas, in my humble opinion. All the new gizmos and gadgets, the cool new backpacks, the new special calendars and work logs and teachers' logs and all that good stuff, colorful notebook covers and folio designs, and my personal favorite, newly designed writing instruments. Okay. I am passionate about colorful pens and pencils and markers. And honestly, I admit to being a bit of a snob when it comes to point size and lead softness. But the best part is that new stuff smell. That's just, you know, brings back memories. So yeah, it's all tactile and all kinds of senses when it comes to the new school season. So I'm sorry, I was gone, but I promise I'm back. Okay, school bells will be ringing in earnest all over the parish in just a couple of weeks or several days. I think Jennifer will straighten that out for me. And for today's show, we want you to get your number two pencil ready and your three subject spiral bound notebook out, because you're going to want to take some notes today, and there may even be a test at the end, you know? So we're going to share info to get you ready to welcome the start of that new academic year with open arms, and get your kids, as the Iberia Parish School District says, back on track and ready to achieve. So let's meet our panel today. Jennifer, you want to say hello?
Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me, Marty.
And you are?
I am the Assistant Superintendent of Administration for Iberia Parish Schools.
And Jennifer Joseph is her full name. We like to
yes.
get all that in there. That's no problem. We're having fun this morning. And Miss Crystal, welcome back.
Yes. Hi, Marty. This is Crystal Beyonce, City of New Iberia Parks and Recreation Program Coordinator. Thanks for letting me be on today.
And you got information on
the
which
school supply drives that are going on.
That pack the back. Pack
yes,
the
ma'am.
Backpack. Yeah, absolutely.
Correct.
Well, good. We're going to have, again, ways to be ready for school and ready to ways to help get kids ready for school. So we're going to do that a little bit today. Now, first up is Jennifer Joseph. And I have a little quote to share from Robert H. Hutchins, an American educational philosopher, who is quoted as saying, "The object of education is to prepare the young to educate themselves throughout their lives." Our first guest has been an educator herself for 34 years, and as she mentioned, the Assistant Superintendent of Administration for Iberia Parish Schools for the past 3 years. She began her career at Peebles Elementary as a fifth grade teacher, God bless you, for that. And 10 years later, she became the principal at Peebles for the next 11 years. She then became the supervisor of federal programs for Iberia Parish, which is where I met her, when she managed federal grants and was instrument in the school improvement efforts of Title I schools for 13 years. She received a bachelor's degree in elementary education from LSU and a master's and specialist degree from UL Lafayette. She was born and raised here in New Iberia and graduated from New Iberia Senior High in 1981. She's married to her high school sweetheart, Gary, and they have two children. Her daughter, Bethany, is a dentist, and she and her husband live in Dallas. Her son, Jordy. Do we remember Jordy, Jeff?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. and what's high school? I've forgotten.
New Iberia Senior High is
at NISH. Okay, because Jordy is a running backs coach at Southern Miss University. So she's also known as Honey to her first and only grandson named Luke. And on a personal note, Jennifer and I are both proud graduates of the Chamber's Leadership Iberia Class 14 forever, in 2012. So, Jennifer, in this ever-changing landscape that we're dealing with right now, let's get the scoop as of 10:30 a.m. today.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Marty. And you're right. The scoop is as of today because as parents and teachers and administrators know, we're getting guidances that are changing daily. So what we are going to say we're opening up today might change in the next week. It might change in the next month. And that's the challenge of our school systems. We have to remain fluid. We have to remain flexible. We have to continue to review our data from the CDC. We are in constant contact with Tina Stefanski, and we're also in contact with her about guidance for our schools. But I do want to assure that our parents and community that we are ready for this school year. Student learning will be our ultimate priority, but we also take very seriously starting off the school year safely, keeping our kids safely, and keeping our schools open. We lived through a chaotic pandemic of 1.5 years, so we're a little bit more experienced. We're a little bit smarter. I've been given the nickname of COVID queen for our district because any kind of COVID question kind of comes my way, and I seem to have the answers because of all the experience that I do with students and staff. So with that being said, it's a challenge, Marty. It's a big challenge. For our school districts, as well as our surrounding school districts. We just know that our students and our staff will continue to rise to that challenge. It seems that our CDC and our Louisiana Department of Education is leaving many of the final decisions to the local school districts, especially when it comes to wearing masks and some other different decisions that schools are having to make. And I can't tell you how much of a challenge this is, because we have to collaborate with some of our surrounding districts, the St. Mary, the St. Martin, Lafayette, and see what they're doing, because we never want to be the lone district of doing things just Iberia way, but we want to try to make sure that we collaborate and do things that the others are doing as well, but still realizing that Iberia has its own statistics, its own data, and its own challenges. So again, we will continue to look at our data and get our data together. I don't know if you've realized, but our percent positivity for Iberia went up again as of yesterday. It is now 15.9. It was 11.6 the week before that. So that definitely makes Iberia a very high-risk area. And with only 29% of our population being fully vaccinated, it is a concern for our schools. And some of the decisions that we're having to make is going to be what we think is best for our school, best for our students, best for our staff, but sometimes it's not a popular decision. So I just want you guys to know that even though it may not be the decision that our parents want to hear, we really think through our decisions and we want to do things that are best for our kids, okay?
Jennifer, you mentioned that you collaborate with the parishes. I guess the thing that we all need to remember is the pandemic doesn't know geographical borders, and what happens in other parishes that are around us, or is an important thing to factor into, not only not to be standing alone, but also to know that just as we know, it just, you know, just because it's a parish line doesn't mean things stop and become different there. So
that is true, Marty. I guess that's a good point. One of the first topics I would like to discuss is just facial coverings for the school system, because that seems to be a hot topic or a high interest of our parents. What I want to make sure all our parents know is that on transportation, any student who rides a bus, there is a requirement that you must wear a mask on our public transportation. Now, even if we have some of our non-public schools, our private schools, and their kids are riding our public school buses, which we have several of our kids, that applies to them as well. So while they are riding the bus, regardless of their age, all pre-K to 12 grade students must wear a mask. Now, this is different because last year, when a mask was a requirement, our pre-K, kindergarten, first and second, didn't have to wear a mask at school, so they didn't have to wear a mask on the bus. So for parents, you have to make sure that your kids have a mask for the bus. It's like a school supply. It's like part of your school uniform. So it is a responsibility of our parents to make sure that they have that. Now, our bus drivers will have a few to give out in case there's a kid or two that won't have it. But ultimately, we want our parents to be supportive of that requirement. So that's one of the things I really want to share with you.
Jennifer, you mentioned school uniforms. Is there any type of restriction on colors and designs on their face mask? Does that matter?
It does. In fact, we have mask policy for the types of masks. For example, they cannot contain wording, emblems, any kind of signs that might promote profanity, obscenity, political messages, drug, alcohol, almost like with T-shirts. So gang hate-related slogans, none of those things are allowed. Bandanas are not allowed. Neck gaiters are not allowed as well. Our research has shown us that neck gaiters do not provide adequate protection. So ultimately, it's going to be the principal who will use their discretionary power to determine the appropriateness of the mask and the covering that the student does wear to school. And we've had little or no problems with that last year, Marty. Our parents, many of them bought some of the school's masks. They were selling with the logo on them, the school logo. So
right.
We're good with masks. It's more important that they have one than not have one. So that's pretty much our message. Just wear a mask, especially on the bus this year. So as of today, we are going to also be following what the CDC says regarding schools, and that's all adults and students should wear a mask, a face covering, when inside the building. So I just want to make sure that parents know that we are asking that this year, that they should. Last year, the pre-K to second, like I said, was exempted from it, because honestly, those little kids, they didn't wear their mask well. They didn't keep it up properly. So we weren't getting our bang for our buck. So we allowed them not to wear it last year. And this year, we're going to make that same accommodation. So our pre-K to second in the school building does not have to wear a mask. But we are asking our adults and our students to wear a mask if possible. The next thing is that when you are outside, you are able to not wear a mask. So if there's PE, if there's recess, if there's any kind of outdoor activities, we're not asking for anyone to wear a mask. So that is something I want to make sure everybody knows. For physical distancing, many parents don't know the requirements that we have to use in the building for our physical distancing. And it's 3 feet between kids, among kids, but it's 6 feet between a teacher or an adult and a student. And of course, this is maximum extent possible. The State Department uses that a lot, which means that if you have a classroom, you want, if you can do six, you do six. If you can't do six, you do four, but at least to the maximum extent possible. And overall, we've been able to do a pretty good job of doing that mostly throughout the day. It's tougher to do it with, to adhere to that with our little kids, because they're in groups, they're in centers, they're on the floor and the carpets, they're getting their stories read to them. But that is what we are trying to achieve, of the physical distance of 3 feet between students. And the congregating or convening in a single room, we no longer have a maximum capacity. Last year, we had capacity limits of 50 or, you know, 250 or 200. This year, there's no capacity. The only requirement is it's determined by physical distancing. So that means, like last year, at the end of our last year, our graduations looked a lot different. Our largest schools had to do 2 and 3 sessions to have fewer people at the sessions to be able to adhere to the social distancing. Same thing again for this year. Orientations might look a little differently at some of our schools, especially the large schools like our Iberia Middle School, our New Iberia Senior High, or our Westgate. They may not be able to have everyone in the auditorium or in the cafeteria for a group assembly. So if the schools are able to adhere to the physical distancing requirements, they might be able to have a group assembly. Otherwise, they will not. They will. The parents will come in, walk the halls, have the social distancing, get the supplies, talk to the teacher, and then leave. So it'll look differently at each school. The other thing is that in our elementary schools, we have to have static groups. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with what a static group is. It's a group that stays together most of the day. So that's why the little ones were able to not wear their masks, because we stayed in static groups, and we are going to continue to do that in our elementary schools as well. One of the challenges in our classrooms, because not all of them are very spacious or big, even though we're very proud and lucky to have some very up-to-date facilities, we had to take out some of those non-essential furniture pieces like bookshelves, extra tables, so that we can make sure that we have the greatest extent possible in seating. So if you walk into a middle school or a high school, you might see the exchange of classes looking a little differently too. Some of the schools have specific practices with it that they customize mapping traffic. So like they might all go in one direction. You walk to your left, you walk to your right. We are also customizing scheduling of kids and groupings of staffs or staff meetings. We also have to stagger the kids entering the building and exiting the building. Now, this year, we don't have to do temperature checks, which is with a low yield practice last year. We didn't get a lot of temperature checks that ended up being a COVID type positive situation. But we're still having to monitor them not all coming in and congregating at the door. So we're having to let one bus off at a time and monitor the kids walking in. They have to hand sanitize their hands before walking in and going to eat breakfast if they're choosing to eat breakfast. So those are the types of things that are going to look a little bit differently for our high schools and our middle schools. Last year, we didn't let any of our elementary classes switch. The teachers did the switching of classes. In our upper classes, a lot of times we have a teacher that might teach ELA in social studies. Well, the kids stayed in their classroom, and the teachers make the switch. Well, this year, we're going to allow the kids to switch like we do in the high schools. But we're going to make sure that 3 feet of social distancing is maintained while that switching is done. We're going to make sure that we do disinfect our highly touched surfaces. And we're going to try to minimize the amount of wasted time in the hallway. So that's one change. I think teachers and kids are going to enjoy being able to switch their classes in our elementary schools. I know I'm rambling right now, Maury. Do you need questions before I move on to my next topic?
Okay, you're doing good, and I'm watching the time, and Jeff gave us a little extra time today, so
okay.
we're good, and yes, ma'am,
all right.
Go for
okay.
it.
So the next thing I'd like to share, how will our outdoor activities look? Last year for recess at the elementary, we only allowed a few classes out at a time. They were not allowed to use the playground equipment because of sanitation and disinfecting requirements. But this year we are allowing more to go out at a time. They don't have to wear their mask. And we are going to still clean the playground equipment, but we've realized through our research and our data that we don't have to clean it as much. As long as our students, before going out to recess, will hand sanitize their hands. And when they come in, they will again use hand sanitizer before entering the building or washing their hands, whatever, works best at school. So you're going to be seeing more normal recess type behaviors outside, and PE activities will look a little bit more normal as well for outside activities. Speaking of cleaning, we know that was one of the things that worked really well with our schools, making sure that we frequently disinfect our touched objects, like door handles, fixtures. So we are going to be disinfecting those twice a day. Our restrooms are going to be cleaned throughout the day as well, frequently throughout the day. Our middle and high school classes, the teachers are going to be cleaning their desk in between switching the classes twice a day as well. So water fountains are cleaned every hour. Even though we do encourage our kids to bring water bottles from home, but we do have our water fountains ready to be used for our kids. Personal hygiene is also another thing that has worked so well with our school system last year, and that's making sure that our kids, like I said earlier, when they come off of the bus, one of the first things they do is use the hand sanitizer to wash their hands before going to eat, leaving the classroom, before exiting the building for recess, coming back into the building. So we have enough hand sanitizers on hand this year. Last year, you know, that was one of our challenges. We wasn't able to have the supply. So now we have the funds and the supplies are there. So that is not an issue for us one bit. So we are going to continue that personal hygiene portion of last year that worked so well last year. And we continue to remind our kids when they do go in to wash their hands, running for 20 seconds with soap and water as well. So transportation, I kind of hinted upon that earlier, how that is a big change for our parents. Because not only will our pre-Kers, kindergartners, first and second graders will have to wear masks this year. And it's going to be, that's new. But this, I want parents to know that we don't have an option for this. This is not a local decision. This is because of an executive order that was issued by President Biden in January of 2021 that face coverings are required on all transport in all transportation. And that does include school buses. And it does include, like I said earlier, our private schools who are using our buses as well as our public. So, and we're going to be operating at 100% capacity as well. Last year, we had capacity limits. We had to operate at 50% when we were in phase two, 75% when we're in phase three. So the good thing is that we are going to be able to operate at 100% this year. So that is a plus. And again, that's for today. Who knows if any of that's going to change tomorrow. But
10:46 a.m. Thursday.
There you go. And our expectations of protocol is that, you know, when kids get on the bus, they, again, have to sanitize their hands. We have sanitizer that has been provided to all of our bus drivers. We're hoping that our parents at the bus stops will help to monitor that our kids will maintain the 3 feet of social distancing before the bus comes, because we do have several bus stops and we have large numbers of kids getting on at one time. So the parents can assist with that. We would appreciate that cooperation. We are going to stagger our kids being loaded and unloaded at the school sites to minimize that congregating at the beginning of the doors in the school. And our bus drivers also disinfect their buses. So after each of their routes, when they let off their morning route, their high school, their middle school route, they disinfect their buses before their elementary route. Then they do the same thing after their elementary route. And then at the end of the day, they do a thorough cleaning of the whole bus. So that worked really well with us. And we're hoping that will be another high yield practice that will help keep us safe and lower the spread of the virus.
And keep the bugs off the bus.
Yes, yes. And one of the things I didn't share earlier, but I do want to make sure parents know that we require every one of our bus drivers and our teachers to maintain seating charts of our kids and to keep them updated. And this helps with us when we're having to identify our direct contacts of a kid who might be positive. So that is a must for our bus drivers as well. So how will visitors look at our schools this year? You know, last year, we didn't let any visitors in. We did almost everything virtually. Everything was on an as-needed basis with appointments. But this year, I want the parents to know that we are going to still limit our visitors, but we're going to open it up to our principals to be able to identify who are essential and who are non-essential. So I'll give you one example. Last year, the very beginning of the school year, we had no photographers, no school photographers coming in until we, was out of phase two. Well, this year, we're allowing our principals, hey, if you can maintain your social distancing, do all the hand sanitizing and disinfecting that's needed, yes, you can get your photographer that you've used to come in and do your individual pictures. We don't support right now group pictures, but individual pictures, yes. So I think that will help our schools get back to normal, especially our seniors who might be starting to take their senior portraits and so forth. So again, visitors are going to be limited. We're going to ask them also to wear face coverings when they come into the building, just as we are asking our adults, our own employees and our own kids. So again, the principal will determine the essentialness of that visitor. So if you're a 4-H agent and you want to come in and meet with your 4-H club once a month, and it can be done where kids are able to social distance, we are going to be allowing those as per the principal's approval.
Yay, we get a little bite of normality, just a little bit.
And again, that's as of today. So let's talk about large gatherings.
10:49 on 7:29.
Yes. You know, one of the questions I was asked by our administrators, hey, can we have pep rallies? Can we have this? And the answer is, if you can maintain the 3 feet of social distancing with it. And some schools aren't able to do that. So they're being creative about it. So some schools may be able to pull it off. Some of them may not be able to pull it off. They may have to do one grade level. They may have to do some outside. It may look differently. So our answer is not no. It's just that if we can adhere to the requirements of social distancing and physical distancing. So again, orientations at some of our schools might look different. Our open houses might look different, but if you are an attendee, you will be asked to wear a face covering. And of course, wash your hands before and once you leave the event. Okay, field trips. That's another thing that we had said, oh, no field trips last year. And even travel to conferences for our own staff, those were all put on hold. So we are not saying that this year. We're saying if the field trip is essential to the curriculum, and that all of the guidelines of masking on the bus, cohorting, having your static group stay intact, if those things can be adhered to, and it is an essential field trip to your curriculum, you may have special permission from district staff, from our supervisors to do those. So we're going to see a little bit more field trips being taken, but not, you know, it won't be every field trip will be approved. So I just wanted our parents to know about field trips as well.
Good news, too.
Yeah, that is. Okay, eating in the cafeteria. Gosh, if you walked into our cafeterias last year, you'd have seen some kids bringing their trays to their classroom, seat in their classroom. Some of them, we brought tables out in niche, and they were eating in the hallways because we had a maximum capacity in our rooms. Well, this year, we don't have a maximum capacity, but we still have a physical distancing requirement. So, yes, we are going to still have some schools where kids will be eating in the hallways or in the classrooms. We try to, especially our smaller, our younger kids, our pre-K kids, our kindergarten kids, we put those in the cafeteria because it's a mess if they have to walk with the tray and there's a spill. But again, the principals have done this last year. They're experts at it. So lunches are going to look a lot like last year, I think. But some of the kids actually liked eating in their classrooms because teachers would put movies on while they're eating. And when they were allowed to go back into the cafeteria, some of them saw it as a punishment, believe it or not. So I don't know. Some of them you can please and some of them you can't please. But we do have a no-touch service. You know, we do have our kids wash their hands before their meals, after they're done. We won't let them share foods among kids. So, you know, we're going to keep our same procedures with that. Now, if we do have any kids who are going to be participating in our virtual program, I want those parents to know that we are again providing lunch to those virtual students if they would like to. And this time, they're able to get it at their school. Last year, we had pickup sites. We had like 11 sites. Then they weren't used very well, so we reduced it to 6. But now, if you are a virtual student and you're at Caneview, you can make arrangements to go to Caneview at a certain time and get the meal for that day, the breakfast and the lunch for your child that day. So even if you're virtual, we will provide a free lunch and breakfast for the God, for our students. So I think that'll be good for our parents as well. How much?
Doing good. Just we got two more little points, so let's go.
All right. Okay, let's talk about screening protocols. We're not taking temperature checks, but we do expect our parents to do some self-monitoring of their kids. So if your kids are running a fever or they have some symptoms that are COVID-like symptoms, we want you guys to monitor that and keep them home if they're sick. And many of you are very familiar with those symptoms. That's the fever, the cough, the nasal drain, it's a sore throat, diarrhea, loss of taste, loss of smell. So if you see that your child has any of those symptoms, please keep them home. We are asking that you check and test them to see if they are positive. If there is an alternate diagnosis, maybe it's strep throat, when they're able to come back to school, we'll take them back. But if they are positive, they will have to stay home for 10 days, which is what the CDC requires. So we're asking our parents, as well as our own employees, to make sure that they inform the school when their child has any of these symptoms and they're having to be kept home, and if they have been in direct contact with someone who's positive. That's very important because we have a quarantine for those kids as well, and that is for 10 days. So if parents can take on that responsibility of letting their schools, administration, secretaries know that they've been in contact and that's why they're staying home, we can take care of missed homework, we can take care of missed assignments, and we can make sure that they don't miss a beat with that as well. And we've done so well with hybrid last year and with our Chromebooks. Every child now has a Chromebook. So if they're having to stay home, we can make it some modified assignments and get them caught up without having to bring paper and pencil assignments back and forth for kids who have to quarantine or isolate because they themselves are positive. So that's the big thing, is making sure the school is aware of it. Now, if a child has a temperature at school or is noticed to have any of those symptoms, we're going to call the parents and we're going to put them in our isolation room. And parents, please come pick up your kids as soon as you can. And if you have a positive test, they'll stay out. If you don't have a positive test, it's often diagnosis. When symptoms are gone, then they're able to come back to school. So sometimes it's just sinuses, but sometimes the sinus symptoms could be a COVID positive test.
Right.
I've had questions about, are we going to accept the at-home COVID test that some parents and employees are using? And I'm going to tell you, we had to reach out to our Louisiana Department of Health for that guidance. And the answer is yes, if it's a positive test, but you still have to show documentation of it. Because the chance of a false positive is very slim, but a chance of a false negative at the at-home test are very likely. So if it comes up positive, yes, we will accept those results. But if you have a negative result from an at-home test, we are going to ask you to get a PCR test to back up that negative reading just to make sure it's truly is negative. I have a couple of quarantine clarifications for some of our parents. When the CDC lowered the 14-day quarantine to 10 days, but that's only when you are not having any symptoms and if you're able to come back wearing a mask. So, for example, if you are a pre-K-er, a first grade or a second grader, and you have no symptoms, and you are coming back on day 10, day 11, 12, 13, and 14, you have to wear a mask while you're at school. And if that parent does not want them to wear a mask at school, then they will stay out the full 14 days. Our athletes, you're able to come back to school, but you can't participate in athletics for those next 14 days, the next 4 days. You have to adhere to your full 14-day quarantine as an athlete. And that has been some confusion for some of our parents. So even if they wear a mask, they still cannot participate in athletics for the full 14 days. And that's because there's an increased risk of post-quarantining transmission when that quarantine is shortened to 10 days. So I just want to make sure that we clarified that for our unmasked students and our athletes.
Well, and speaking of student athletes, I know we're all eager to start playing ball.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
We are.
high school sports. Yay. Yeah. So what's the deal on that?
And so we're having a jamboree as of today. Lordville is our sponsor school, and we're going to do it on two nights instead of one night. So we're going to have one game between Westgate and between Nish and Lordville on the Thursday, August 25th, and on the Friday the 26th, we're going to have two sets of games. So we'll have our smaller schools, Delcom, Generette, Highland. They're going to participate in two 12-minute halves. And then at 6 o'clock or after that finishes, we'll have our next big game between Westgate and Catholic High is coming back into our jamboree this year. So we're going to try to adhere to our social distancing. But outside, you know, we don't have to worry about mask wearing and so forth. So we are looking forward to having a jamboree this year.
You got that, Jeff, huh?
Yeah.
did I not hear Delcom in that mix?
I'm sorry. Delcom is definitely one of our smaller schools. So Delcom, Generette, and Highland will be playing those 12-minute halves, those two 12-minute halves. Yes, they will be playing. So we have our largest schools. We have Nish, and we have Lordville playing each other. And then we have Westgate and Catholic High playing each other. And then the smaller schools will play two 12-minute halves.
Okay, that's three other schools then?
So yes.
Okay, so there are seven teams there.
I was just trying to
figure out those matchups with an odd number of teams.
Yes, yes. And you know, what has been really good with our coaches and our athletic directors, they have been our kids to get vaccinated. Because we know that the more that our kids who are of age to get vaccinated, especially our athletes, the better chance of them not having quarantine if they're a direct contact. And if they do get COVID, their symptoms will be milder. So we are definitely trying to push and encourage the vaccines in our athletes. Last year, unfortunately, we had one, two, three of our teams that were not able to play because of a breakout on that team. And we're hoping not to have that this year.
That's great. Well, anything else we need to cover first? If we have time, we'll come back.
If I could just maybe mention virtual.
Okay.
We've had some parents that have inquired about our virtual program. I really need to let everyone know that we are no longer offering a COVID virtual learning option this year. Everything is face-to-face, but we do have our Iberia virtual program that has existed prior to COVID-19. We have a limited enrollment of that, and they have to meet the qualifications and the requirements for that, and that has passed, and those parents should be notified this week if they are indeed a part of that virtual program. So there is no COVID virtual option this year. I want our parents to know that.
That's great. That's great. Jennifer, thank you. That's a great deal of information, and I know a lot of people needed to hear all of this. You know, the Chinese proverb says, if you're planning for a year, you sow rice. If you're planning for a decade, you plant trees. And if you're planning for a lifetime, you educate people. So
yes.
We're doing that for sure.
Yes. And Marty, I gave a lot of information, and I want to encourage our parents to go to our website, iberiaschools.org. They can always reference that under our tab, Ready to Achieve, and they can get all this information in writing in case they may have missed it. And we are so forwardly looking to our first day of school for our teachers, August 6th, and our kids come back August 11th.
Awesome. Awesome. And I'll make sure to put the link in case you missed it, that goes with the programming today. So I'll get that for sure. Now, you're welcome. Next up, my friend and former colleague, Crystal Beyonce, Fred Rogers, you know, Mr. Rogers, right? He's credited with saying anyone who does anything to help a child in his life is a hero to me. And I couldn't agree more. As the program coordinator for the City of New Iberia Parks and Recreation Department for the last 5 years, and she spent a total of over 15 years working for NERD, and that's not N-E-R-D, that's N-I-R-D. She has had her hand in lots of things that help lots of kids and is indeed a hero to many. For a bit of her background, she's a New Iberia native as well, and a graduate of Nish, and attended UL Lafayette easy for me to say, majoring in education. She has two sons, my buddy Cullen, who I've been working with since he was, what, eight?
Eight,
Crystal?
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
Yes.
But he's a 17-year-old senior high, senior at Westgate, silly me, and Christ Michael, who I met was a little bitty baby, or a little person anyway.
Yes.
He's nine now, and he's in fourth grade at Sugarland Elementary. Crystal and I worked together a few years back on the Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Louisiana Foundation West End Health and Wellness Project, and she was instrumental in helping administer several programs targeting healthy lifestyle choices back in the day when we worked together. But today, she's here to share info on a back-to-school program that we can all take part in on some level or another. So, Crystal, take it away.
Yes, yes. Thank you again, Morty, for having me this morning. Just to do a general sum of our Unity in the Community Back to School Drive, which started about 5 years ago, is getting community members together for one cause, which the cause is to help parents take a little bit of that ease off of them for back to school, giving them some starter supplies to get the kids started with a book sack. 5 years ago, we reached out to several companies, several individuals for us all to come together to do this big one event. Instead of having so many back to school drives in so many areas, we could all do it in one big place that met the needs of our community. This year, again, for the third year in a row, we have a Focus Family mental health program that is donating 100 book sacks to our program and our Unity in the Community. And they're going to be filled with starter supplies as well. Their book sacks target our K through about fourth graders. And we have WECNA, which is the West End Council Neighborhood Association, which donates bags as well to our big event. This year, talking with the president, Warren White, asking him, can y'all get on board with us again and donate? Last year was different for us that we didn't do book sacks per se. We did a lot of bags filled with face masks, sanitizers, things like that to help parents who we know couldn't afford or didn't have the means to get face masks for the kids to wear every day to school. And now listening to Ms. Joseph talking about the masks that will be required on the public transportation, we want to reach out now to ask people, come back, donate some of those masks back to us again this year so that we can give those to the students as well. One of the big things that's going to change for us, like we know every day is something different that's going on, is that we're going to do the drive as a drive up. Instead of getting down like we usually would have the kids meet, sit down, listen to some principals come and talk and tell them what to expect when school starts. Now we're actually just going to let them stay in their vehicles, come off of Landry Drive, turn onto Obie Street, cross Field Street onto Gilbert Drive, and the kids have to be in the cars with the parents to receive the bags. And hoping that what we give will be a start for them in this new school year.
So this is going to be a drive through West End Park, basically,
correct.
Right?
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am. Yes.
All right.
And that's going to be on August 7th from 10 to 12.
Yes, okay. Ma'am. All right. Good. Good. And what do you need? Okay. We're out here. We want to help. What do you need? Where do we bring it? Can we make donations? All that good stuff. You know, Annie M wants to know.
Yes. We are still taking donations. We actually have a list of starter supplies like loose sleeve, composition notebooks, folders, binders, pens and pencils, things that can get the kids started. And one thing we like to tell the parents is not everything on the list, because there's so many things. Things change when they get in a classroom to say that the teacher may need something different. So our thing is, let's get the starters, paper, pencil, a binder, a folder, just to get them there with something. Now with the face mask, donate the face mask. We're asking anybody that want to just pick up an extra bag box inside the store, drop it off to City Park or West End Park, and tell them it's for the back to school drive. and we'll make sure that it gets to the kids and being given out with supplies. Our target every year is 200. Right now, we're at 112. We just want people that want to donate, and we're not picky about what it is. Long as you're helping, if you want to come and help us pass out the bags, we encourage you to do so, which will be August 7th from 10 to 12 p.m. at the Weston Park.
That is awesome. Well, good. And how can they get, are you coordinating it pretty much through your office? Is it, if they,
yes,
if anyone has questions, how do they reach you?
Yes, they can call City Park at 337-369-2337, and they can ask to speak to me, Crystal, or they can talk to one of the ladies in the front, and they'll be glad to give them the information.
Okay, that's awesome. That's awesome. I think Jennifer will agree this is a much-needed community service.
Yes, and we have had such community support, and Ms. Crystal, I can't thank you guys enough, and Warren is one of my classmates, and I'm glad you're asking his support, because he can help out with that. And yes, so if the community wants to ask anything of us, masks, because you know when kids have to wear a mask for a bus and then they don't need it during the day, it gets messed up, and in the mornings it falls in the puddle of mud, you know. So the things that are happening that we never want them to not to get on the bus. So if we have more to give to them, and they have more to come and bring to schools, yes, I think mask is definitely something we can help our kids with.
That's great. And Crystal, when is the deadline for donations? When do you need to have them in hand?
I always give 2 to 3 days, but every year that last hour on the Friday before we do it, people start dropping off stuff. So we're in here after hours loading the bags up. So I would say about 4:30 on the Friday, August 6th. That'll give us a count to know how many, to keep our numbers out there so we can count off the cars, not have people just sitting out there that we don't have the stuff to actually give out to more than our goal number of 200.
Okay, great. Well, that, you know, it's always nice to know, because we all procrastinate. That's,
yes.
Yeah. Or we have to wait till payday to buy something. So, you know, it happens. Yeah. So that's great. That's great to know. Well, I'd like to change gears just a little bit and talk about a few things that are actually happening in our community before school starts. And tomorrow, Saturday, it's time to sing along with to your favorite Broadway and show tunes at Envision DeBerry's Show Tunes Sing-Along. It's co-hosted and held at a spot for tea, and they'll have their full menu of items and beverages. There's no cost to join in the fun, but donations made during the evening benefit Envision DeBerry and all of the projects that they're working on. Don't forget to vote for the gumbo cook-off. I'm sorry, but it, as far as I'm concerned, it is the best local event. So we're going to remind you to do that. The Best of the Tesh that the Daily Iberian has going on right now is closing their voting at 10:30 a.m. tomorrow. So you still have time to go vote. If you're looking for the gumbo cook-off, you'll find us under the lifestyle category and just scroll to the best local event. I'd like to remind you that you can still sign up to volunteer at the gumbo cook-off. Yes, that's still on the books for October. And you can give Martha Gerard a call at 337-967-2304. By the way, I'm just going to put this little plug in here. Jennifer, Martha, and I were all in Leadership Iberia Class 14. Yeah. So, you know, we're out there doing our thing, right?
Right.
That's it. And the next event in the Chamber Special Series called Up Next is set for Tuesday, August the 10th at 8 a.m. After a momentous legislative season, Iberia Parish's key legislators are coming together once again to recap their efforts in Baton Rouge and to answer questions submitted by members of the business community. Invited guests include Senator Fred Mills and Representatives Blake Miguez, Bobo Ye, and Marcus Bryant. The virtual program is presented by our friends at McDonald's, Miller Management, and this virtual attendance is free, but you must register at iberiachamber.org/upnext. And since we've been talking about this all month, tonight's the Chamber's annual banquet, and it is sold out. So, again, thanks to the presenting sponsor, Iberia Medical Center, our keynote speaker sponsor, Brown & Brown, and supporting sponsors, Cox, Bernard Transportation, and the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. And next week, our guest segment for August, our first segment for August, as we did last year, we're celebrating National Black Business Month with a panel of Black business owners from around Iberia Parish. We'll meet Terrence Etienne, the chef and owner of Fit and Fresh Meals in New Iberia. Ariel Collins, the pharmacist and owner of Village Pharmacy and Wellness in Lauraville. And from Generette, Ronald Mitchell, accounting consultant and owner of Mitchell's Tax Service. So that should be very interesting. And of course, you can always get the details, find out what's coming up on our programming and other announcements too by giving Positively Iberia's Facebook page a like and follow. Later today, we'll share an In Case You Missed It post with the video Peek Behind the Curtain. And of today's Zoom panel, you can see what we look like. It's kind of scary. I still think, Jeff, I have a face for radio.
Oh, don't we all?
Yeah, it's okay. But we're here and we do our thing, right? And you'll find the links we mentioned today. I promise we'll have them there as well. And don't forget that the past segments are archived on our Facebook page as well. And audio only on the Kane1240.com website, where you can replay all of those on demand in case you missed it. Before we go, special thanks again to today's panel, Jennifer Joseph, Assistant Superintendent at the Iberia Parish School District, and Crystal Beyonce. Beyonce, I'm going to get that, you know, after 6 years, you think I get that straight, Crystal, but
it's
oh well.
Okay.
Hey, I love you, and you know that. That's what's important. And she's repping the Unity in the Community Pack the Backpack, I'm calling it, program. Ladies, any final little quick comments that you have before we close? Jennifer, let's go back to you.
I don't have anything to say, but we are going to remain vigilant, and we're going to go get through this year like we did last year. I am looking forward to having everybody return back. So, yeah.
And I'm sure Jeff will keep us posted, too, as things break.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. And Miss Chris, anything else you want to share? Again, remind people how to get in touch with you in case they want to help.
Yes. One of those things I want to put out there is August 7th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Weston Park will be our backpack drive. If you're looking to donate, you can stop at either Weston Park or City Park. And if you need more information, you can call 337-369-2337.
Awesome.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, ladies, again.
Now, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Positively, just to get this good stuff in here, Positively Iberia is produced by the Greater Iberia Chamber of Commerce in cooperation with Tesh Matters here on Kane 107.5 AM, 107.5 FM and AM 1240. And our promotional partner, News 15, KADN KLAF, and underwritten by the First National Bank of Generette. Thank you so much. And in closing, remember at the top of the show, I said that there might be a test. Well, not really, but best-selling author Jeremy McGilvery tells us, quote, "Life is the most difficult exam. Many people fail because they try to copy others, not realizing that everyone has a different question paper." Stay well, everyone. See you next Thursday. And remember, it's only getting better.